So 2 weeks ago, we had a introductory shiur about the din of yichud with arayos, and we began just a quick recap of the hour shiur that we had last time. Number one, we have a din that yichud is. The simple understanding is that yichud is an issa daraisa. There's a machlokes harishonim, but most of the rishonim assume that yichud is daraisa. Where do we learn that from? The Gemara has in Kiddushin daf peyam and beis, as well as avodah zarah daf lamed vav. The Gemara has the drasha that. Remez the Yichud min HaTorah minayin. How do I know that there's an institution of Yichud min HaTorah? So, says the Ramban, say Rov HaRishonim, the Beis Yosef holds like this as well. From the fact that Gemara learns it from a Pasuk, it must be that it's Daraisa. Okay, so that's the basic Gemara. Then the question is, how far reaching is that Issa Daraisa? So the Gemara just says that Yichud for Arayus is an Issa Daraisa. For example, what's an Erva? Yichud with an Eishas Ish. Yichud with other sorts of arayas that the Torah openly spells out for us are considered gili arayas. That would be an issa daraisa. Then the Gemara Lamed Vav fleshes it out more and says, well, there were a couple of phases, even after you have the issa daraisa of Yichud with an arayas, then there were a couple of phases, midrabanan, that came later on in history. So then David HaMelech came along and he said, not only are we going to make an issa daraisa that you're not allowed to be miyachad with an erva, but also there's an issa midrabanan that you're not allowed to be miyachad with a bas Yisrael who's a pnuya. What's the Yisur Daraisa? What's the Yisur? She's not an Erva. A Bas Yisrael is a Pnuya. I can marry her. Especially in the times of the Chumash, when one was allowed to marry many wives. So I can go and marry a Pnuya. I can go and marry her. So what do you mean there's an Yisur of Yichud? David HaMelech said, well, we're going to institute an Yisur Yichud midrabanan on a Bas Yisrael Pnuya. Then later on, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, which was much later on after David HaMelech's Gzeira, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel added on a third level, a third phase of the Gzeira. What was that? The third phase of the Gzeira was that not only are you not allowed to have Yichud Midaraisa with a Pnuya, I'm sorry, with an Arayas, not only did David HaMelech say you're not allowed to have Yichud Midarabanan with a Bas Yisrael Pnuya, but now Beis Shammai Beis Hillel added on also that you're not allowed to have Yichud with a Nachris. Yichud with a Nachris, although a Nachris is not Gili Arayas, although a Nachris is not a Bas Yisrael Pnuya, a Nachris is a third phase of the Gzeira Midarabanan of Yichud. And that is also Usur as far as we know. That is, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel instituted that Isser. Why didn't David HaMelech already include non-Jews in his phase of the Gzeira? So the reason the Ron explained other Rishonim say is because it was so unfathomable in the times of David HaMelech. He said, what? Who's going to have Yichud with a non-Jewish woman? Who's ever going to find himself in a business office together with a non-Jewish woman? It's not possible. So it was so low shchicha, David HaMelech didn't make a takana. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel lived later on in history. Obviously, in their times, it was something that was obviously much more prevalent. It was something we have to think about. And certainly in our times, we have to think about that as well, that we have situations in an office where one is stuck quite often with a non-Jewish woman. So we always have to be careful that not only are we careful with Yichud Midarais on Arayas, but we're also careful with David HaMelech's Yichud, which is on Abbas Yisrael Pnuya. And number three, on Yichud with a non-Jewish woman as well. Shimshon, right. We spoke about that last time. Yeah. Okay, good. It's part of the Chazara, that's right. And then we spoke about...
If you can't have a Yichud with an Arayas, then you can't be alone with your mother or your sister.
So we'll get to all that. Let's just, as we said, last week was just the introductory shiur. So the last half of the shiur we spoke about... The last half of the shiur we spoke about Rabbi Yosef Engel's Chiddush, and it's not really his Chiddush, he just collects all the different marmakomas, which point out that when we generally talk about a siyag, the Mishnah says, asiyu siyag l'Torah. What does that mean? It means Chazal have to make different gedarim to make sure we don't violate an issa daraisa. They make Zeris and Harchakas Midrabanan to save us from violating an issa daraisa. We would generally assume that a siyag, a Harchakas, is really a din d'rabanan. But over here, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, and he quotes many, many sources that seem to indicate this way as well, that we do have an institution as a siyag d'araisa, which is quite surprising. It's surprising to assume that Hashem understood that we are going to make a mistake, and therefore he made a din in the Torah that we shouldn't lead ourselves to making a further mistake. So that's why the way Rabbi Yosef Engel spells it out by Yichud is, God understands that we all have taivus. God understands that one thing is going to lead to the next. So don't be miyachad with a woman, because if you're going to do that, it's going to lead to the next step of Gili Arayas. So that is, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, that is one of the cases where we find a Siyag Midaraisa. Interesting concept. Now let's move on further. Next week maybe we'll talk about, actually in 2 weeks, maybe we'll talk about Yichud with mother, sister, and all that different kinds of things. Yichud with a man is also a big Shaila B'Zmanenu. We have to talk about, obviously in our times, when it's something we're very paritzin, something we have to be careful about. Certainly, I think we mentioned last time, Shaila comes up all the time, at least once a year it happens. more than once a year, I should say, when you have a camp or a high school that wants to go on a trip to a hotel for a Shabbos, a Shabbaton, whatever it is, an NCSY convention, and they want to save money, so they put four boys in a room or they put two boys in a bed, whatever it is, that's a major shaila. It's really not so pashut. And certainly in our times when we know there's such priests in this area, there's such a terrible, terrible moral and ethical breakdown in our community, it's something we certainly have to be more and more careful about than than ever before. So we'll get to all that. Let's first begin. Tonight's shiur, I want to talk about the Isra of Yichud with a Nida. So what's the story with an Isra of Yichud with a Nida? So obviously, if the Nida is a Pnuya, so that falls into the category of David HaMelech's Yichud with a Pnuya Zasser, it shouldn't make it any better. She's a Nida. That's the same. That's Yichud with a Pnuya. That's David HaMelech's Isra. The question is, what about Yichud with my own wife who's a Nida? I want to get into this. Obviously, it's mutter. The question is why. So by way of introduction to the Sugya of Nida, you have to ask the following question. Number one, the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Mem Tesamid Aleph, it's a complicated sugya, but it comes out from the sugya there. I didn't put it on here because just to read the Gemaras is not easy. But when you go through, what? And because it's a whole block Gemara, two sides of a page. It's Mem Tesamid Aleph, Mem Tesamid Beis. That would take the whole shir just to read the Gemara. But what's Ola from the sugya there is the following three conclusions. How do we know when something is part of Arayas? Gili Arayas. What does it mean in Erva? Not Shvi has done something else. What is an erva? How do you categorize what is Gili Arayis? Says the Gemara, there are three criteria. One thing is that Kiddushin is not Tofis with this woman. That's number one. If Kiddushin is Tofis, it would seem that you're not an erva. That's number one. Number two, Chayiv Krisis. Exactly. Chayiv Krisis, that's also an erva. Number three, if you go ahead and you marry this person, the offspring, the child, is going to be a mamzer. Those are the three criteria we normally have to make something under the category of arayis. Now, what's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is yahar val yavar. Do I have to actually give up my life if somebody tells me to go and be mezana with this and this person? Well, if it's gili arayis, then I have to give up my life. If it's not gili arayis, I don't have to. Let's say, for example, Rahman al-Itzlan and Nachri comes to me and he says, you have to go ahead and have znus with this non-Jewish woman. Is that yahar val yavar or not?
No.
Why not? That's not an erva. It's a terrible act. It's not a good thing to do, but that's not Gili Arayis. Gili Arayis means a Jewish woman who Kiddushin is not Tofus with, number one, who if I did go ahead and have relations with her and had a child, the child would be a mamzer, and number three, that we assume that it's a chayvik krisis. Now the question is, how do we categorize Nida? What are the criterion from Nida? The Gemara says over there that if one lives with a Nida and has a child, Rahman al-Islam, once in a while you have husband and wife make a mistake, and she doesn't go to the mikveh properly, or they don't know enough, they're bali tshuva, they're not familiar with all the halachas, and they have children, imam zeiris. So would you assume that the child is a mamzer? No, why not? Well, that would seem to tilt the scale that nida is not an erva. Then you look at the other halacha. What do we assume? Is kiddushin tofis with a nida? Anyone ever heard of a chuppas nida?
Yes.
So, what does that mean? It means obviously kiddushin is tofis with a nida. So you're two strikes. Number one, Kiddushin is Tovus with Anida. Number two, if they have a child, the Vlad is not a mamzer. What about number three? What's the third thing?
Karis.
Is it Karis? Yes. So the Rishonim have a Machlokas. So how do you categorize what Nida falls into? Nafkamina will be, do we say Yahar Gval Yavar? Let's say someone holds a gun to my head and says, go be boiled at Nida. What would we assume? Well, if it's Gili Arayis, then we say, you're not allowed to. If it's not Gili Arayis and it's just an Isser Chamer, it's an Isser Bia and it's a terrible thing, but maybe you're going to say it's not Gili Arayis, then you don't say Yahar Gval Yavar. That's the question over here, because the rules don't...
That one or your wife, as a Nida, somebody tells you.
Yeah.
What's the difference if you're saying that Nida?
What's the difference?
Somebody else's
wife, that's an Ishish Ish. Yeah. That's not Arayis. No, I'm saying, let's say a Pnuya. Let's say, you know, my father always says over, he says, you know, there's a mitzvah to love my wife. But, you know, some people take it too far. They say, the mitzvah, I have to, you know, l'recha kamocha means I have to love my friend's wife also. So you have to understand that there's limits, that, you know, there's a way a person acts with his own family members, there's a way he has to act with others. But the question over here is, if a person holds a gun to my head and says, be born, that Eishas Ish is a Nida, that's a regular Arayis, Eishas Ish is Arayis. Over here the question is, what if he tells me to be mezana, if he says, I'm going to kill you unless you're mezana with this single girl who's a Nida who didn't go to the mikveh? Should we assume that's Gili Arayis or not? So this is a big discussion. Tosis writes in Yevamos Daf Beis Amud Aleph, a very famous Tosis, it's also in the beginning of Maseches Gittin. Tosis has the same shita, and he really fleshes it out in the Sefer HaYashar of the Rabbeinu Tam. Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam is the original notes that Rabbeinu Tam had, and then Tosfos very often takes snippets from the Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam. When you have Rabbeinu Tam quoted and you don't really understand what he's saying, my father has taught me that often you have to look back in the Sefer HaYashar, and it gives you the context of what Rabbeinu Tam really meant to say. So over here, in Yevamos Daf Beis, Rabbeinu Tam really explains what he's getting at. And that is, he says, we don't say Yaharig Val Yavar by Anida. Let's say somebody holds a gun to my head and says, I want you to be boil this woman who is Anida. She's a Pnuya, she's not an Erva. But I want you to be boil her. Do you have to be Yaharig Val Yavar? No, says Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because even though we say Anida is a Chayvi Krisus, but on the other hand, it's missing the other two components. Nida is not, the Vlad Mimena is not a Mamzer. Number two, we assume that that Kiddushin is Tofus. So that obviously, says Tosfos, that obviously proves that it's not in the category of Gili Arayis, and therefore we don't say Yaharig Val Yavar. That's what Tosfos says. Nida's Lav B'chlal Arayis. Where the Rambam disagrees. Look at the Rambam in number Aleph. Rambam Perek Dali Siri Via Halacha Aleph says very clearly, Hanida Harehi Kershar Kol Arayis. There you go. The Rambam says very clearly, Nida is the same category as all other Arayis, and therefore we would assume that Nida, the din is Yaharig Val Yavar. I need the Kiddushin's Tofsin. I need the Vlad is not a Mamzer. Okay, so you say it's a fluke. It happens to be it's Gili Arayis, but it's for some reason it has an exception to the rule. We learn out from special psukim there in Yevamos Daf Mem Tes that Nida is an exception to the rule, but we would assume that Nida is real Arayis. So
it doesn't have to be an Ashish Ish Alter.
What?
Nida Ashish Ish doesn't have to be.
No, no. According to the Rambam, we would assume Nida is Bechlal Arayis, even if she's not an Ashish Ish. Exactly. So Nida is not Bechal and Eishas Ish, which is Rav Moshe talks about.
Single girl,
yeah. Nida is a Nida. That's what Rav Moshe talks about in a tshuva, that there were single girls in the city who used to want to go to use the mikvah. They were big Nashim Tzidkanius. They were Mezanah, but they wanted to use the mikvah that they shouldn't be Mezanah when they were Nidas. So Rav Moshe said, absolutely not. He said, we can't let them use the mikvah because now we're enabling people to do Averis. Yeah. If the man knows that the woman's a Nida, he's going to be scared off, that there's a Chayiv Karis involved. If the man knows now that the woman went to the mikvah, so now we're promoting people to go and be mezana, go be hefker, they're going to do things that they're not supposed to do. So that's where Moshe said, absolutely not, we cannot allow single girls to use the mikvah. Okay, so now we move on.
But
yeah?
The difference between allowing them,
if it happens, it happens. What are you going to do?
So it is.
What do you mean?
It works.
Sure, if a single girl goes to the mikvah, it works. But the question is, as a matter of policy, should we allow, meaning, I hear the question, let's say I'm running a mikvah.
This was addressed at an RCA meeting where girls were going to the mikvah.
Right.
And then the men would take along their tools on a date.
Okay.
For a serious crowd.
For the graphic description, here we go. So, no, I mean, it's not such a bad Shiloh. It's not such a silly Shiloh. If we think, it's not such a bad Shiloh. Yeah. Okay, so if you think about a perspective of Klal Yisrael, right? It's not such a crazy thing to think about. You think about where people are actually holding and what they're actually doing. It's not so crazy. It's not so wild to assume that maybe it's not such a bad idea that we should limit the violations of Isuri Kares that are going on in the world. It's not so crazy. Rav Moshe said, as a matter of policy, the community as a whole can't take that on. It means we're giving into the Yisr. But the question is not a bad question. So we'll talk about that maybe at another point. But this is basically the general background of a Nida in general. Again, Tosfos holds Nida is not considered an Erva. And the Rambam holds Nida Harehi Kishar Kol Arayis. Rambam says unequivocally the Nida is considered like Shar Arayis. We would say Yaharig Val Yavar. Disagrees with Tosfos. And now we move on. What's the din if it's Ishto Nida? Why should it be any different if it's Ishto Nida? Well,
so
if you say...
This Penuya, she considers a Zohar, that she never married a Kohen.
Again, a Penuya, that what?
Penuya, who has relations.
Yeah.
Is she considered a Zohar that she could never marry a Kohen?
What do you mean?
If she has
which
relations?
Okay. No. Okay. We'll talk about it when it comes up. It happens to be Ledavonenu. Unfortunately, Ledavonenu, this comes up all the time. The question is, we write in Aksuba, we write that you're going to give Kemar Habasulas. So you're going to give 200 Zuz Kemar Habasulas. So nowadays, we write Basula and all the Ksuba. We don't write Bul Tada. We don't write that.
I asked somebody once that in Ksuba I write Bul Tada, but we don't read it under the chuppah. We skip that word.
So it depends. If you know she's a Ba'ula, then you write that. But the question is, let's say you have a regular girl who goes on a non-Jewish college campus nowadays.
That's right. That's where the big problem
is. That's what I'm saying. So that's the question. So what do you do? You have all these hefkeres going on a college campus. It's totally secular. There's nothing. There's no supervision. Everyone's doing all sorts of wild things. Can I really write with a straight face that the woman is a basula? Do I really have a right to assume
dorms.
What?
Co-ed dorms.
Co-ed dorms, absolutely. So that's the question. What? No, the Vlad is not a mamzer. That the Gemara learns. That's a good question. Let's just get that clear. Even according to the Rambam, that Nida is Bechlal Kol Arayos, the Rambam will agree to the two exceptions that learn from a pasuk. The Rambam says the Vlad is not a mamzer, and the Rambam also agrees that Kedushin is Tovsin. So that's for sure. There is Karis. Nida is Karis, yeah. So now the question is, what happens with Ishto Nida? What do we do about that? So look at a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Zokti Gemara as follows. Suga Bashoshanim. We have a pasuk in Shir Ashirim that says, Klal Yisrael is Suga Bashoshanim. What does that mean? Shafilo kisuga shel shoshanim lo yifutu bahem peratzos. Then there's a big discussion exactly what the Gemara means. But basically, the Gemara is coming to explain that even if we have such a small fence, roses are very soft. You can kick them over with your foot, it's very easy. So even if we have a small gather, a very soft gather with, you know, we could kick it over with our feet, we could push it over with our hands, still we won't break the rules. We know how to have self-control, we know how to be careful with ourselves. Behind the Amrle Ahu Mina the Rav Kahana, the Gemara relates a story that Amin and Apikoros said to Rav Kahana, Amrisu Nida Shari Yichud Badi Gavra. You hold that a Nida is allowed to have Yichud with her husband. Efshar Eishbin Uhuras Ve'ena Behav Heves. You think there's going to be a big flame, a big fire going up, and it's not going to catch fire? How you allow yourself to be in the same room as your wife at night? Isn't that a problem because it's going to lead to something else? And he said back to him, Amrle HaTorah Hehida Aleinu Suga Bashoshanim. The Torah says about us that we have self-control. Even though we have nothing holding us back. We're in the bedroom, no one's watching, no one's going to know about it, we can do what we want, but still, we have self-control, and we exercise our self-control. And therefore, the Gemara says, that's why a person is allowed to have yichud with his wife. Frek Tarkasha. Number Gimel. Vim Tomar, Frek Tosus. V'ha yichud da'araisahi. The Gemara learns that in Kiddushin Daf Pei, in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vav. Remez liyichud min atar minayin. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Ask Toisus vehechi asa krada divrei kabbalah lemishri ma'idich siv ba'araisa. You have a pasuk that says suga bashoshanim. Very nice. So you make a drasha. Suga bashoshanim means that we have self-control and therefore we're allowed to be with our wives when they're needed. What do you mean? But the pasuk says that one is not allowed to have yichud with arayis. So how can you understand? Why are we allowed to? Yeah, you have a nice drasha from a pasuk that we know how to have self-control, but still, the halacha is the halacha. How are we allowed to have yichud with our wives when they are needed? That's Tosis kasha, a bomb kasha. Tosis says, Hechi asa kra de divrei kabbalah lemishri ma'idich siv ba'arayis. How can we understand that the Torah comes along and says something's aser? It says you're not allowed to have yichud with arayis, and you're coming along and saying, from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, yeah, it's okay, because nothing's going to happen.
What's kabbalah? What does it mean?
Divrei kabbalah means, it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it's not a pasuk in Chumash. Right? So it's a lower level. Yeah, it's not the same. So it says Tosas like this, a very important answer. Lo asra Torah ela ke'ein imo. Says Tosas, the answer is, the only time the Torah asra the isra of Yichud, it's only when it's similar to imo, to one's mother. To lo abidu the mishtaria, I will never be mutter to marry my mother. Never. Doesn't matter how I slice it. Doesn't matter if the father dies. Doesn't matter if the brother dies, the sister. I'm never going to be allowed to marry my mother. Aval nida, however, anida, sopali tar. We all know, she'll wait 2 weeks. She'll get a hepsik tarah. She'll get a shivanakim. Everything's going to be fine. So she can go ahead and go back to her husband. Omiyu. Now Tosa says there's a little caveat. Hecha de lo ba, which we're going to get to later in the shiur. What happens if a husband was never really had relations with his wife, meaning they just got married and she's anida right away? Then Asurulis Yachik Kedaminim Parakamadi Diksubis Lo Bal Hu Yashim Min Anashim Ishti Yishena Min Anashim. So we'll get back to that about a young couple that gets married and didn't yet live together. We'll get to that later. But just for our purposes, Tosa says, what is the heter? Why do we assume that a husband is allowed to have yichud with his wife when she's a nida? Tosa answers the reason is because it's sofali tar. Because in the end, you're going to have a heter with her. In fact, the Sefer Yireim Rabbi Lezer Mimitz adds to that. He says, we have so many more hachakas by Anita than we have by anyone else. We never say, let's say by Shara Rayas, do you ever say to an Ashes Ish, do you say you're not allowed to eat off the same plate as an Ashes Ish? No. Do we say that when you're eating at the same table with an Ashes Ish, let's say it's just the two of you, it's in the middle of a big public place, but you're eating just the two of you, do we say you have to have something in the middle of the table to show that you're asr to each other? No, we don't have those harchakas. However, when you're eating with a nida, you do have harchakas. What does that come from? Says Rabbi Elazar Mitz, we make harchakas with a nida, but in the end of the day, a person knows how to hold himself back from the actual maisa, tashmish with a nida. Why? Because he knows that sofali tar. To touch one's wife, okay, he's not so careful. To kiss one's wife, chibuk v'nishuk, okay, maybe we'll slip. But to actually go further than that, that we know how to have self-control. Tosa says, since sofali tar, so psychologically we know that we're going to have a heter later on, there's nothing to be concerned about. Yichud with a nida was never included in the isur d'oraisa in the first place. That's what Tosa says. So, you look, we find a similar idea, connected halacha a little bit, but the Rambam writes as follows. Zakhtar Rambam perak chafalif hilchas isuri biya halacha dalit. Zakhtar Rambam, mutr la'adam lahabit be'ishto kishu nida. I'm allowed to look at my wife when she's in nida. Why? I am going to be very attracted to her beautiful face, I'm going to be attracted to her hair, I'm going to be attracted to whatever it is. Why am I allowed to look at my wife? Afal pishi erva. The Rambam himself, remember, the Rambam says, nidos kishar rayas. I'm not allowed to look at a different Eishas Ish, so why am I allowed to look at my wife? It doesn't say that when one's wife is in nida, you shouldn't look at her. Adirabi, you have to look at her when she's in nida. You have to make sure she feels good. You have to make sure she understands that you love her anyway. Says the Rambam, why am I allowed to look? Aren't we concerned? Holy himuteris lo la'achas man. Since the person knows that sofli tar, he knows that in the end he's going to be coming back to her. Eino babazel davar michshol. It's not going to turn out to be anything worse than it actually is right now. If you're going to sit there and be lightheaded, you're going to go and get drunk, and you're not going to be in your full mind's capacity as you normally would be, as responsible as you normally would be, okay, that's a different story. But just in a normal course of conversation, a husband and a wife, and she's anida, and he's figuring out whether he's allowed to look her in the face, says the Rambam, of course he is. Why? Because we're not afraid that that's going to lead to anything else. Sofali Torah, psychologically, in the back of my mind, I know that in the end she's going to become Muteris, and I know to hold myself back because I have that chance in the end. Just wait another week, everything's going to be fine. So, it's actually interesting. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Afman Malif, Asa L'Kaddish Hisha Ad Shiirena. The Gemara says one is not allowed to be Mekaddish a woman till he sees her. Why? Shema Yiraba Davar Maguna. What's going to happen? Maybe I'm not going to see her. I'm going to go on a blind date. Someone's going to set me up, prearrange shidduch. I come to the wedding, get under the chuppah, and I look at her. I say, that one, I don't like the nose job she got. I don't like this. She's going to say, I don't like his beard. I don't like... So the Gemara says it's going to end up being a violation of a haftar l'recha kamocha. She's going to be all embarrassed, standing under the chuppah, the shidduch is broken off. He's going to be embarrassed that the girl doesn't like his beard. Whatever's going to happen. Says the Gemara, you know what? It's a good idea to go on a date. Also the kadishisha ad shiirena. That's what the Gemara says. Our Sameach writes... Doesn't say how many, at least one. So the Arsameach says that the Rambam, it seems clear from the way the Rambam quotes this halacha that Asa L'Kadoshicha Ad Shiirena means a person has to make sure that all of his looking at the woman and all of his dating with the woman and all of his relationship with her before the marriage is because also Sofali Tar, because he knows that it's going to lead to something that's greater than what he has now. It's going to lead to getting married. But stam to go in the street and say, oh, let me look at all the women because everything's wonderful. No. Says Dar Sameach, there's no heter stam to look at women. A person has a heter to look at the woman because he knows that he's ultimately going to marry that person. Look at what Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld writes in his Shailas Uchuvas Teres Chaim, that's number Zion. Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, he has the Shaila, is a person allowed to look at the girl that he's dating? Right? So they send Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld the Shaila. It's an interesting question. And there's a Talmud Chacham who is fighting back. You look in the tshuva there, there's like five or six responses back and forth where this person is arguing, no, he looks at her once and that's it. Now he knows it's for him and it's good. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, what are you talking about? We date like, generally, we understand dating in our community means the couple gets more close to each other, they understand what the needs are of one another, they understand what their commitments are to one another after they're going to get married, so the dating process is very important for the marriage. Says Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld as follows, let's say a guy wakes up one day, he says, oh, I have Ruach HaKodesh at this Eishas Ish, her husband's going to die, and I'm going to be the lucky one to marry her. So, okay, say the guy's a Meshuggah. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, no, obviously, Zeb Shita Daser. You can't rely on such things. You come to the room, you say, oh, I have Ruach HaKodesh, and I'm going to end up marrying you, very nice. When it happens, we'll talk. However, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Aval HaChasen, when you have a boy who's dating a girl, it's the same way that the Rambam says a husband is allowed to look at his wife because he knows sofali toher. Aisha's a nida now, aren't we concerned? Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, no. Gam ken hu mutar listakel, a chassan who got engaged or who's dating is allowed to look at the girl as well. Shetehei mutaris l'achas vam, because he knows that after a period of time, he's going to ultimately be married to her. Ein ani roa b'chol pulpulo davar nachon ki im lamad al daito. You keep, again, I said, there's like five or six responses back and forth, and he says, you keep being so persistent in your shita that you think you're right, and you think a boy is not allowed to look at a girl once they have the initial sight of each other. That's it. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Ani hanir la nias daiti kasavti l'lamid tzchus kehalacha. He says, I think you're absolutely wrong. I don't think it's correct what you're saying. I think all of this really falls into what Tosis answers. Again, Tosis says the reason why it's mutter for a man to have yichud with his own wife while she's a nida, aren't we concerned it's going to lead to something else? Says Tosis, no, because the ikr, the original iser of yichud, the araisa with harayas was when it's like emo, when it's like his mother. What does that mean? Ain't sofali tar. I'm never going to become mutter to my mother. And therefore, a nida who is sofali tahir, who is able to ultimately come back to her husband, we don't have a concern because suga bashoshanim, we know how to exercise self-control, and we have nothing to worry about. However,
how did Abraham tell Sarah?
Atayadati. That's the Marsha's kasha there. How does Abraham Avinu say Atayadati ki isha yifas marat? What do you mean? He never looked at her. Asa l'kashi shachi irena. So it's a major kasha. The Marsha talks about it. Many Achronim talk about it. Also talk about it. Maybe next year, Parshas, when we get to what? Yeah. Right. Now it's really when it counts. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of pshatim, a lot of different pshatim, but it's a good kasha. The Marsha has the kasha. So that's Tosis's answer. Again, that's the answer Tosis gives to why one is allowed to have yichud with his wife when she's in Eden. There's a very fascinating Rush. The Rush writes in the Tshuvas HaRush a different answer than Tosis says. Says the Rush, you know what? Really, he says, Nida is part of the regular rule of Arayas. And really, I should have said that when the Torah says you're not allowed to have yichud with Arayas, that includes your wife as well. However, says the Rush, the problem is, it's irrational. It's unreasonable to assume that 2 weeks out of every month, I have to sleep in my house with a shomer in the room. It's not reasonable. Zakhtar Rush, since it's so uncomfortable and it's so distressing to a couple that twice, you know, that 2 weeks out of every month they're going to have a whole separate lifestyle with other people sleeping in their house and they can't be alone with their wives, since it's unreasonable, Mamela, Ishto Nida doesn't fall under the category of Arayas with regard to Hilchas Yichud. Bam Kasha, Frek the Chikre Lev, and other Achronim. I'm sorry, I travel a lot on business. I find it extremely uncomfortable to always have to have my tuna fish sandwich because there's nothing else to eat out in Nebraska. It would be much easier for me to eat my McDonald's cheeseburger. Much cheaper and much easier. So it's a little bit difficult for me that I always have to bring my tuna fish sandwich and eat the same thing every day while I'm on a business trip. So you know what? Forget it. It's unreasonable to assume I'm going to keep kosher. So I won't. Big deal. What? What's the difference?
You're going ahead, you're performing an Easter, that's for sure you're doing an Easter.
And over here?
If you don't do the act,
Yichud itself is usur. Yichud itself is usur. I'm not allowed to be in the same room as a woman who is arayas, secluded in a room. No, so right now the act is usur. It's not just that it's going to, yes, it's going to lead to something else, but right now what I'm doing is usur. So what's the answer? I don't understand. We never say this in Mitzvah HaTorah. You're going to say, I find talking Lashon Hara very difficult. So, you know, forget it. It's not for me. Throw it out.
One is Karas, the other one is not Karas.
Okay, but still, all the Yisurei Torah we assume are serious. We don't think it's a joke just because it's not Karas. So what's the pshat here?
It's like Rabbanim would not, he goes as something which the other can't.
That's what he says, but we only find the Bagzeris the Rabbanon.
Right, so but here
the Torah is saying that.
The Torah is saying that I understand that this is impossible. So
right,
it's
not so what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Here I want to say the pshat. Everyone can disagree if you want. I thought of this yesterday. I think it's really emistic of pshat. So just bear with me. I think it's the ripe pshat in the Rush. The Rush is very hard to understand. How do you explain what the Rush says? Tosis makes a lot of sense. Tosis says, the whole din of Yichud in the first place is only by someone that's not sofali tar. Over here where the wife is sofali tar, he knows that he's going to have a heter in another week, so it'll hold back. But the Rush says something unbelievable, says the Rush. It's irrational to assume, it's unreasonable to assume, that someone's going to be able to live like this. So therefore, Yichud doesn't apply. What's the pshat? I thought the pshat is like this. We learned last week, when we started off the sugya of Yichud, The Gemara says, Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know that yichud is aser? There's no pasuk you could point to that says, don't be miyachud with an isha who's an arayis. What does the Gemara say? It has some strange pasuk, and the Pnei Yeshua writes on the sugi there, we quoted this last time, Pnei Yeshua writes that 30 years he was wondering, what's the pshat in the drasha in the pasuk? He couldn't understand. How do you see the isra of yichud from the pasuk that the Gemara brings? It's so hard to fit it back into the pasuk. It doesn't make sense. Pnei Yeshua says, after 30 years of breaking his head on the sugi, he finally realized, oh, this is the pshat in the drasha, but it's not so clear. So even if you hold yichud as an isra daraisa, it's only a remez. It's not something that's clear in the Torah. So therefore what? So therefore, I want to draw a parallel to other sugyas where we find a very similar idea. And that begins like this. The Gemara has in the 8th parak of Yuma, when it talks about all the different isurim, the chamish inuim that we have on Yom Kippur. So what are the chamish inuim? We have achila shtiya, rechitza, sicha, nilas asandal, tashma shamita. Those are the chamish inuim. So there's a big machlokas. What is the halacha? The shari inuim, obviously achilu shtiya, the pasuk says, tanu es nafshu sechem. So you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. The question is, what about rechitza, sicha, nilas, asandal? Should we assume tashma shamita? Are those isurim that are isurim daraisa, or are they only, are the chamish inuim only midirabbanan? So this is a big question. The Tosis Yishonim, one of the Balei Tosis, writes there in Yuma daf ayin zayin amud beis, that if you look in the Mishnah on ayin zayin amud beis, the Mishnah says, hamelach lahakala, a king and a girl who just got married, yirchatsu es peneyim. How are they allowed to wash their faces? How are they allowed to wash their faces? It's an iser on Yom Kippur to wash your face. Rechitza. So why do we say, why is there an exception for a melech and a kala? So you say, a melech is a melech, so what? Melech doesn't have to follow the rules? Melech is allowed to eat basar b'chalav? What's the pshat? Says the Tosfos Yishonim, it must be, from the fact that we draw a distinction between melech v'kala and everybody else, and we say a melech v'kala is allowed to wash their face in Yom Kippur, meanwhile everybody else is usher, it must be that the other inuim on Yom Kippur are only midirabbanan. Because if they were daraisa, we never find that the Torah differentiates between these kind of Jews and those kind of Jews. Everyone is included in all the Yisuri Torah. So how can you explain why a melech v'kala would be out of the iser of rechitza on Yom Kippur? Says the Tosfos Yishonim, it must be that rechitza on Yom Kippur is only derabbanan. And the Ran there disagrees. The Ran there says it's not true. The Rambam feels that all of the inuim on Yom Kippur are deraisa. All the inuim on Yom Kippur are deraisa. So what's the pshat? So why would you say that a melech and a kala are allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur? What do you mean? It's an isur deraisa. Why should they be allowed to break the rule? Are you going to say that a melech and a kala are allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Nobody would say that. You're going to say a melech and a kala are allowed to drink on Yom Kippur? Nobody would say such a thing. So why should a melech v'kala be allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur? If all of the chamish inuim are isur daraisa. Again, Tosfos Yishonim says, achila and shtiya, says the Tosfos Yishonim, I believe they're daraisa and everything else is derabbanan. Okay, so once it's derabbanan, it's a little more flexible. Chazal created the rules, who it applies to, who it doesn't. But if you hold like the Rambam that all of the chamish inuim are isurim daraisa on Yom Kippur, so what's the difference? Why do we say the same way a melech v'kala is allowed to wash their face, we should say they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur also? What's the difference? Says the Ran, a very big yesod. The answer is that achilo shtiyah, the pasuk says, tanu es nafshu sechem, you have to fast. That the Torah says openly. So we know that's an issa daraisa, no breaking the rules. That's exactly the way it has to be. However, says the Ran, the other inuyim, mechitza, sicha, ne'ila, ne'ila sasandal, and tashma shamita, those inuyim are not spelled out explicitly in the Torah. They might be aser daraisa, but the Torah never says, don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. The Torah never says, don't have tashma shamita on Yom Kippur. Chazal learned it out from a pasuk, so it's daraisa, but it's not explicit. And says the Ran, when you have something like that, which is only remiza ba'araisa, the Ran's lashon is, kili tve, a halacha that's not mefurish b'kra, but is only remiza ba'araisa, we could be more makel, umasran hakasav lachachamim. Meaning what? The chachamim have the right to determine when the halacha applies and when it doesn't. So here, what is the Ran saying? Rechitza. Yes, it's an itzah of daraisa, but is it spelled out in the Torah? No. It's learned out from a drasha from the word shabbosim. Okay? So what does that mean? If Chazal learned it out from a drasha, means they have the right to determine what the Torah meant when it gave us this drasha. Did the Torah mean that it applies to everyone? Or did the Torah mean that it only applies to everyone outside of a melech v'kala? That's what the Ran's Yisod is, that you see a concept of nimsar hadavar l'chachamim. Sometimes you have a din d'araisa, but Chazal were given the right to determine the boundaries of that halacha d'araisa. And I think that's an exact parallel to our sugya here by Yichud.
Why are they
One second, let me just finish the point. We have an exact parallel to our sugya over here. The Gemara says, Remez li yichud min haTorah minayin. It's not mufurish in the pasuk. It's learned out from a remez. The Pnei Yeshua says he worked 30 years, he didn't understand what the remez is. But we assume yichud is asa deraisa. What does that mean? That falls exactly into the category of the Ran, which is that when you have an isur deraisa, albeit it's a real isur deraisa, but it's not mufurish b'kura, Chazal had to learn it out from a drasha. It means Chazal have the right, nimser hadavar lachachamim. They have the right to be kobeya, where we assume that this isur applies and where it doesn't. So take, for example, the isur of yichud. Chazal understood that it's unreasonable to assume that a person is not going to be miyachid with his wife. How can you assume such a thing? 2 weeks out of every month I have to have a shomer sleeping in the room with me? That's unreasonable. That's not something that we can imagine people actually being able to keep up to. Therefore, says the Rush, that is the heter. What do you mean? We don't break the rules by Basar B'chalav and say, it's unreasonable to assume that I'm going to keep kosher even when I'm in Nebraska. Answer is because it says, Lo Savasha Gadi B'chalev Imo. That's Mefurish B'kara. But over here where it's not Mefurish B'kara, it's only learned now from a remez, perhaps we have more of a right to be Mekel because Nimser Hadar L'Chachamim means the Chazal or Koveya, where the Yisr applies and where the Yisr does not apply. Exactly. Cholamoid is a big sugya in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches. And this is a big machlokes harishonim, whether melechas chol hamoed is aser deraisa derabanan. So melechas chol hamoed is a big shaila. So let's say you assume that melechas chol hamoed is only an iser derabanan, right? So the raya that the rishonim bring that melechas chol hamoed is only aser derabanan is because davar avid. Why should we allow it? Davar avid means if I'm going to lose a ton of money by not doing this business deal on chol hamoed, so then I'm allowed to go ahead and do it. What do you mean? If I'm going to lose a lot of money by keeping kosher, I still have to do it anyway. So why should you say Melechas Chol HaMoed is mutter? Therefore, said the Rishonim, you see from the fact that Davar Avid is mutter, it must be that it's only Aser D'Rabbanan. How do we answer? Zok the Beis Yosef, if you know what the answer is? From the fact that Melechas Chol HaMoed, even if you hold it's Aser D'Raisa, it's not Mufurish B'Kura, it's only learned out from a remez. It's exactly what the Beis Yosef answers. It's Nimser Adar L'Chacham, it means they have the right to set the guidelines when the Isur Deraisa applies and when it doesn't. So when it's unreasonable, Melechas Chol HaMoed is Isur Deraisa, but when it's unreasonable, meaning I have a $1 million deal on the line, I'm going to have to lose out because it's Chol HaMoed, that's unreasonable. Say Chazal, Nimsar Davar LaChacham means we have the right to say in a case like that, Davar Avid, Melechas Chol HaMoed doesn't apply. It's exactly the parallel case to here as well. And I think that has to be the Pshat Rush. Otherwise, how do you explain? The Chikre Leiv stands on his head trying to figure out what's the Pshat in this Rush.
We've got to be able to have a family unit. And the person, if you tell me, is the error is derisive,
yeah,
you wouldn't be able to stay with your mother, you wouldn't be able to stay with your sister in the house, mm-hmm, together with the family, you would be no family units. Mm-hmm. It's like you're living here or there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in general.
Why is your pizza the only thing that they allow?
Okay. Yeah, what?
For a melacha and a kala. Why only their pizzas?
Why not tashma shamita also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tashma kala.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. When we learn Yuma, we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Okay. I'll be here for many, many more years. It must be, yeah? Okay, so let's just chazer. So what do we have so far? So we have the two answers of Tosfos. This was all just an introduction. We have the two answers of Tosfos. Don't worry. We're going to finish on time. Two answers in the Rishonim, why a person is allowed to be miyachid with his wife when she's a nida. Tosfos answers, number one, the reason is because sofalitar. And the Rush disagrees, the Rush says no. The reason why it's mutter is because what? Because it's unreasonable, it's impractical, it's not possible for a regular family to be able to stick to that kind of guideline. What? Exactly, and we suggested a pshat in the Rush, you can take it or leave it, I'm open to other suggestions, but either way, the Marsham writes in a tshuva as follows. The Marsham, who I think was the grandfather of Reb Shalom Shvadron, his name was Shalom Shvadron. So the Marsham writes in a tshuva in Chelek Beis, and the tshuva's Marsham,
Bajan Rav.
So what happens when you have a woman who's a Rasha? You have a marriage that is not going so well, whatever it is, but they're sticking together. And the woman says, I'm not going to the mikveh. She tells her husband, she's not fooling him, she tells her husband, I'm not going to the mikveh. Okay? So they don't like each other too much. They're never going to be together. Fine, but they live in the same house. Says the Marsham, are they allowed to have yichud or not?
If they don't like each other,
that's going to happen. But there's an issue of yichud. Says the Marsham, well, they're husband and wife. Says the Marsham, but their husband and wife, the whole heter is, Tosfos says, because sofel itar. But over here, where the woman's a Russia and she says, I don't want to go to the mikvah to show you, says the Marsham, that's not sofel itar. They're not allowed to have yichud. He has to move out of the house or she has to move out. They can't live in the same house. We don't just say that every time someone's a husband and wife that automatically the issur of yichud goes away. No, it's only because sofel itar. But if it's not sofel itar, then we assume that that is off. And in fact, okay, but in fact, says the Ramah himself says in Kuf Tzad Izayin and Nuchas Nida, the Ramah says, Isha sheyesh la p'tayim ve'eni yechala li taher. Let's say you have a woman who has such terrible wounds, for whatever it is, Rachmana Litzlan, she has terrible wounds, and she cannot go to the mikvah, and we know this is a condition that's going to last for the rest of her life. Not that it's just something for a few months or a few weeks, something that's going to last, it's an ongoing condition. Asa lisyachanima. Ah, you're being a great husband, ah, you want to take care of her, ah, you want to do, doesn't matter. You're not allowed to have yichud with her. Why? Because the whole heter for a husband to be miyachid with his wife when she's in nida is only because sofel itar. But if it's not sofel itar, like this case, the woman has an ongoing condition that she'll never be able to go to the mikvah. Or you have a woman who's trying to get back at her husband and she says, you know what, I'm not going to go to the mikvah, I'm never going to go to the mikvah. In a case like that, we would assume that since ain't sofel itar, there's no heter for the husband to actually be miyachid with his wife.
How about her
Oh, so it's exactly, that's an afkamina, that's what I'm bringing out.
Why is that, for that matter, why not when somebody's 100 years old, why is it still...
Well, she's Mesulekas Damim. She's not seeing Dam anymore at 100, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm saying, but, yeah, but I'm saying somebody else, but, not even talking about a wife.
That what?
Who else?
Another
man?
What are you asking? That at 100 years old, what should happen?
Why is there still a serviette?
Well, then, either if she's married, she's an Ishish. If not, she's a Pnuya. It's David Amelik's Xera. You might still marry the 100-year-old, right? I just heard on the radio yesterday, an 86-year-old man married a 24-year-old woman.
Yeah, that's
so, you never know.
That's what the name Harry is. The killer over there.
No, she has to go to the mikvah. Correct.
So he's
going to
have to move out of the house.
Correct. That's what it says. That's what the Ramah says.
Correct. Not, you have to divorce, no? The answer is not just while she's menstruating. I mean, it's forever.
Yeah, forever. Exactly. Because she'll never get out of the problem.
You have to divorce a woman like that?
Yeah. That's what it says. What?
You have to divorce a woman like that?
What do you mean?
She's not going to make it. That's it, finished.
You have to move out.
You have to move out. I mean, I don't know what kind of marriage it's going to be.
You have to divorce.
So here's an interesting question. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I think it's an interesting point. Rabbi Avad Yosef has a very fascinating tshuva where he discusses, so what happens in a case like this? Rachmana Litzlan, the woman has a serious illness. He had a beautiful marriage for 40 years, 50 years, and now the woman has a serious illness. She can't go to the mikvah. What do you want from her? Says the Ramah, you got to move out. So what do you mean? I want to stay married to her. I want to live with her. She doesn't want to take a get. So ask Rav Avad Yosef like this. It's an unbelievable shaila that he has. Rachmana Litzlan, it should never come up halacha l'maisa, but he says the following. He says, there's a cherem der ben gershim that I'm not allowed to give my wife a get bal karcha. Right? When one gives a get to his wife, unfortunately when it happens, it has to be that she accepts willingly. Not that I shove it down her face and she doesn't know about it and then she wakes up one day and says, oh, look, I have a get. No. It has to be willingly that she accepts it. Sometimes it will be a fight until you get to that point, but when she takes the get, it can't be bal karcha. That's a cheirim. So, over here you have a woman who's unfortunately very sick, and she can't go to the mikvah. So, I can't live with her. So, Rabbi Avad Yosef has the following suffix. Is it better that I give her a get bal karcha, which is a cheirim? I'm not allowed to give a get bal karcha, but under the circumstances, what can I do? Mm-hmm. Or is it better, I want to be mekayim peruvu, I can still have children. So is it better that I marry a second wife, which is also a cherem derbein gershem? Which one is worse? Is it better that I marry a second wife, which is a cherem? Or is it better that I give a get bal karcha, which is a cherem? Which cherem is worse? That's a suffix Rav Avad Yosef has exactly in this case. I want to be a good husband. Let's say I want to continue staying married to her. I just can't have yichud. So what happens if I marry a second wife?
Yeah.
Because I want to have children. Which one should I do?
What's he
saying?
What?
What's he saying?
Definitely give
Paul
Harper.
Let's say she's winning. She agrees
on her that she can never go to the mikvah. Yeah. Let's say, for example, she's in a body cast for 6 months, 7 months,
right.
Or 8 months, whatever. But then you could have it.
That's sofeli tahor. I have a friend.
It could mean, you know, 2 weeks.
I have a friend whose wife had a baby for 9 months. She couldn't get a clean hefsek tahor. 9 months. Whatever it was, a What?
She couldn't what?
She couldn't get a clean Hefzik Tara, 9 months.
Right.
She kept seeing Dam 9 months straight. He said it was the craziest 9 months of his life. I mean, he's older than I am, but you know, but he's had crazy things.
He
but still,
age, it doesn't matter anymore.
It's not that old, you know. So, anyway.
Wait, what's the answer to
Shua? Rabbi Vadi Yosef. No, he has a suffix. It's an interesting suffix. It should never come up halacha l'maaseh. Rabbi Vadi Yosef discusses. Rabbi Vadi Yosef discusses which one has more which chayrim has more basis in Chazal sources. That's the route he takes. Whether he's correct or not, I am not in a position to say because I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a big shaila. That's what he discusses all this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's he discusses all of that. So I just found that a very fascinating next part to this shaila, meaning the Rama says clearly you can't have yichud. So now what? So what's the answer? What's the now what? That's a fascinating shaila, as Rav Avadia generally does. He takes things to the next level, and he tries to figure out which one has more basis in halacha to figure out which chayrim is considered more chamer than the next. Which one should I violate if I have a chance? If I have a choice to only violate one of the two haramim, which one should I choose to violate?
You don't have to worry about the other one.
Right. So he's talking, he's doing a favor. He's talking to us, you know, to the Ashkenazim. So now the question is, again, we spoke briefly before, Tosis mentioned, what happens about yichud? So this is all about yichud with ishto nida. What happens when you have yichud with a kala before he's baala? So that's a gemara in Ksubis. The gemara says number tes. Let's say you have a person whose wife becomes a nida before the bias mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "Hu yashin bein ha'anashim, v'ishto yishena bein ha'anashim." So what does that mean? It means the Gemara's whole heter, and Tosis explains the Gemara's whole heter for me to be miyachid with my wife who's a nida is because I already know what it is. Okay, I'm used to my wife already, but if I never had tashmash amida with her, so that's going to be too hard. I don't know how to hold myself back. And we're concerned if you have a chasen and kala who never had tashmish shamita, hu yashin bein ha'anashim, hi yishena bein ha'anashim, says the Ravid. Strange lashon. Why does the Gemara just say they can't have yichud with each other? What does it mean? Hu yashin bein ha'anashim, hi yishena bein ha'anashim. Means they have to have, says the Ravid, it sounds like they need to have two shmiras.
The other way around.
Right? Sounds like they need to have two shmiras. Like, you got to sleep in the man's house, you have to sleep in the women's house. Why do you need two shmiras? Why can't you just say, one of them should leave? I'll stay in my hotel room, you'll go somewhere else. Says the Ravid, no. Because the chasen and kala are so excited that they just got married. If he doesn't sleep with all of his friends and she doesn't sleep with all of her friends, they're going to end up getting back together. We don't take any chances. Says the Ravid, this din of yichud is different than all the other dinim of yichud. Yichud, normally we assume, as long as the two of you are not secluded in the room, it's good enough. Okay, you have enough of a hecker, you stay in this room, you stay in that room, it's fine. Says the Ravid, over here it's not good enough. Because a chasen and kala want to be together so much that they're not going to hold each other back unless you have a shomer with you, she has a shomeris with her, then it's not going to work. We disagree with that. The Rush disagrees. And the Rush says, no, it's good enough. He says, this is just like a regular din of yichud. All the Gemara means is either he should go to the men or she should go to the women. Not that both of them have to find special places to be. Says the Rush, no, it just means ozeh, ozeh. Either it means he goes somewhere or she goes somewhere. Lemaisa the Rama Paskins. In Simen Kuf Tzadi Beis, this is number Yud. Simen Kuf Tzadi Beis Sif Alav Zakter Rama. Yeisham Shal Sur Liyachid Ima B'Yom Kama B'Layla Vein Tzarach Liyos Shtei Shmiras. Rak Hu Bein Anashim. Oh, he Bein Anashim. Some say, like the Rush, that it's good enough if one of them leaves. The same way by regular Yichud, I end up in the office with a woman where the last two people left there. One of us has to leave. Not that both of us have to leave. As long as both of us are not in the same room together, that's good enough. Then he quotes the Ravid as an afterthought. Some say, you need two shmiras because we're so concerned that a chasen and kala love each other so much and they're going to end up coming back together. Says the Ravid, perhaps she needs to sleep in one house, he needs to sleep in another house, and they both need to make sure to have adequate shmira to make sure they don't get back together. Now, the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, writes in his Tshuvas when he talks about this din, this comes up quite often. So what happens nowadays when you have a chuppas nida? Back in the times of the Gemara, chuppas nida was not common. Why? Because they didn't plan a wedding 6 months in advance. They used to plan a wedding when the woman went to the mikvah. 1, 2, 3, everyone made a couple of dishes for the wedding and that was it. You went to the shul, you had a wedding, everyone went home. Nowadays, when we plan it so much in advance, it's much more possible, it's probable to have a chupas nida. So what do we do nowadays? What are we supposed to do nowadays? When you have a chupas nida, so what's supposed to happen? What? So this is a problem. So this is a big problem. They can't really have yichud. There's no heter for yichud because, like the Gemara says in Ksuvas, because they've never had tashbish amita together, so the Gemara says we're concerned that they're not going to be able to hold back. So they can't even have yichud. So generally the halacha is someone stays in the yichud room. I know Rabbi Willig, when he's the Masada Kedushin, he'll hide in the bathroom. And, whatever. Everyone has their own different things that they do. But basically, this is a big shaila. So what happens? Are they allowed to take out two separate rooms in a hotel, in the same hotel? Let's say they get married in a hotel, and everybody knows, whatever, the parents know it's a chupas nida, so can they take out two rooms? You'll sleep in this room, you'll sleep in that room. Is that good enough? So in the Sefer, written by one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi the Ole Yeshurin, so Rabbi Felder writes that Rabbi Moshe felt that's not good. It's not good enough. Why? Because 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody has cell phones now. You'll call me, I'll call you. Oh, you look in the hall, anyone here? No, no one here. Okay, I'll come to your room, we'll talk a little bit, we'll have some drinks, we'll do this, we'll do that. And obviously, 2 rooms in a hotel is not good enough. Yeah. Rav Moshe even spoke about what happens if you sleep on 2 different floors in the hotel. He thought maybe that's not good enough either. When the Rambam says over here that they have to sleep in Shnei Chadarim, it doesn't mean like we say, oh, 2 hotel rooms, that's not good enough. Shnei Chadar means 2 separate houses where you're not going to walk from one to the other. But over here in a hotel, where it's very easy for a person to walk from one room to the other, said Rav Moshe, perhaps that's not a good enough, it's not a good enough harchakam, we would not allow it. The question is, what happens, and this happens also quite often, what happens, let's say you schedule the wedding, everything's fine, and with this we'll close, schedule the wedding, everything's fine, and it doesn't always work out that they can figure out how to do the B'yas Mitzvah right away, and now she's Pirsa Nida. Within the first week of Shavuot Brachos, before they know what they're doing, she's already Pirsa Nida. So that's a big shaila, contemporary tshuvas about this as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman is of the opinion, he says, well, the husband and wife already had Kiruv Basar, they already were together a little bit, they didn't figure out how to have Tashvash Hamita, but still, they figured out how to be together, figured out how to love each other a little bit. So he says, and the husband knows, you know, the wife married him on the pretense that he's a Ben Torah, that he keeps the mitzvahs. So said Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't think we need to split them up at that point. Everybody knows that, you know, your life is on the line. If you're going to break the rules now, your wife is going to know that you're a faker. You're not serious about what you told her you were really about. So Shlomo Zalman is of the opinion that as long as they had some sort of kiruv basar, as long as they were together in a very intimate way, that's already good enough to say that if she's pirsa nida later on in brachos, you don't have to break apart then. It's only a problem when there's a chupas nida, if at the actual time of the chupas she wasn't ruya labia, she wasn't tahara. So that is that's the only shaila. Then how you deal with that is a major question. What do you do? I think the minhag in most places is that each one of them goes home. What? Or you send a young child. It depends. You know, there's different minhagim in different communities. Look, the main thing that we try to do. It's very hard to get a child who's of the age to understand what he's supposed to be understanding, and who's not old enough to really understand what he's understanding.
Why not just a shomer? One of them takes a shomer.
Where?
Separate rooms.
You mean to have somebody sleep? Okay. Okay, that could work. That could work. Yeah. Whatever. You try to do it in the most tanua dik way possible, but basically this is the basic sugya about yichud with ishto nida. Again, it has 2 parts. You have yichud with ishto nida, one's own wife who's a nida. Then you have yichud with ishto nida when a chasna and kala get married and there's a chupas nida and they don't have a chance to consummate the marriage yet. So then we have a shaila, which is what we discussed just in briefly in the end. But basically the 2 heterim generally that the Rishonim give as to why a man is allowed to have yichud with his own wife while she's a nida is, number one, Tosha says because sofalitar, because it's not like the other arayas which are always going to be usher. And the heter number 2, the Rush says, like we said, is because it's unreasonable to assume that we're going to have a shomer in our house living with us 2 weeks out of every month. That's the basic sugya. And again, just a reminder, next week there's a chasanos. I won't be able to be here. But Amir Tashem, in 2 weeks we will continue.